Okay, I got it recording.
Okay, great. Okay, first of all, everyone, welcome back. It's great to see everyone and to not see everyone. So tonight, I decided on the first topic to discuss based on request is to go through some of the halachas of nursing. I can't remember. Maybe you guys can remind me if we did give a shiur on this in the past. But even if we did, I think it was, I know we definitely did the halachas of schita and dash, but I'm not sure if we gave on nursing. I think I might have given this to the men a few years ago. Anyways, it's something that comes up often and definitely relevant, and it's important to go through some of the halachas that pertain to it. I wanted to discuss, and I mentioned that I really am comfortable with opening the floor and to ideas. If people have anything, they should contact me about topics that they want to discuss. Officially, I think we were still in the middle of Hilchos Bishul. I think we didn't get to the we did more of the Daraisas, you know, and those we can really still get back to heating up food and that much, but there were different ideas. Someone mentioned to me Borer, someone mentioned to me Yichud, whatever we could do Kashrus, whatever people are interested in, please let me know, and we could or we can go back to Bishul also, so we can definitely talk about that. And again, if anyone doesn't have my number, these are important to write down and to share, and to anyone who could reach out to either me or the Rebbetzin, you have that option. You could text me, you could call me, or if you feel comfortable, you know, more comfortable, you know, forwarding to the Rebbetzin and then, you know, calling me, that's also an option. So my number, just a reminder, is 516-382-7596. The best way to get to me is text, not WhatsApp. I do sometimes check my WhatsApp, but text message is the best. My wife's number is 516-382-5108. Okay. So that is, that's just in terms of just contacting and important introductory information. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about nursing. The Gemara tells us that that there is an issue with chaliva, chaylev. This exists in two different areas. The Gemara talks about this in the context of milking an animal, and the Gemara also talks about a milk that comes out of a woman. The Gemara does not clarify what the nature of this malacha and what category it is. And what is the potential issue? And it's not clear exactly from the Gemara. The part of the reason for the confusion is that although the Gemara says that there is a potential biblical violation when it comes from extracting milk from a human being, from a woman, the problem is that the Gemara also suggests that when it comes to the malacha of dash, which is the extraction of something that's encased, that's enclosed, and you extract it, like similar to things we spoke about in the past, squeezing a fruit and taking out the juice. Originally, the malacha was the wheat from the chaff, that they would take out something from the cluster. Anything that's similar to that, where you're extracting something in an enclosed existence, so that would be the malacha of dash. The Gemara in the malacha, in the context of dash, in Disha, says that there's a machlekes Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda of whether or not Disha applies by non-gedulei karka, by things that don't grow from the ground. And the shita of the Rabbanan is that ein Disha ela b'gedulei karka. So the problem is that the whole premise of understanding that there is a potential malacha, if it's under the category of dash, of extracting, which is similar to schita, so squeezing of fruits, that would be a problem of dash. It's a little bit problematic because these things don't grow from the ground. And doesn't the Gemara say, according to Rabbanan, that you need to be ein disha ela bidulei karka. You need to be bidulei karka to be susceptible to disha. So one option is, yeah, we're in the wrong malacha. And this is the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. And the malacha is not really dash. The malacha has to do with smoothing out the surface. And that's when an animal's udder is taking milk out of the animal's udder. So then that's going to ultimately, if you don't mind just muting yourself, if the milk that's coming out of when a person is in the milking process, let's take for example the milking process of a cow. So then that was going to smooth the udder and smooth the surface, and that's the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, that the whole malacha, we're on the wrong malacha. The malacha is smoothing, is memachik, because otherwise it doesn't all add up. It can't apply in the world of disha. The problem is that that's not the opinion of all Rishonim, and we might have to, if we're going to assume that it's a problem of disha of extracting. So how would you approach this? So the answer that's generally suggested is that we have a more broad view of what's considered gedulei karka. Maybe animals are considered gedulei karka. Maybe even though they don't directly grow from the ground, since their diet is based off of a lot of vegetables and things that grow from the ground. So therefore, that would be a sufficient definition for gedulei karka for the purposes of disha, and therefore you would potentially have a malacha of disha even when you're dealing with an animal. Similarly, we're not really milking cows in our community, but when the Gemara talks about choliv and the issue of chaliva when it comes to a woman, so then, or milk coming out of a woman, so then also you could say this suggests the same thing, that since women eat vegetables, since women's diet includes all these foods, that one could argue that that's already sufficient to be considered yesh disha bigdule karka. Or the other suggestion is maybe we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and maybe we don't paskin like Rabbanan. One of those suggestions would lead us to the conclusion that we're dealing with a very serious malacha when it comes to milk that's coming either out of a cow or out of a woman. Now, obviously the Gemara tells us that when you have a child and the child is nursing, so that's something that's not only mutter, it shouldn't be considered only mutter, it's something that's encouraged. And obviously that's something that's not going to be included in the malacha and is not restricted at all. And is something that we for sure permit. Why that should be, it's an interesting question. Perhaps when it's going directly into the mouth of the child, perhaps that's not considered becoming a liquid. And by definition, the disha process means, like if I would think about squeezing an orange or squeezing an olive, so I'm now collecting the liquid into a container that's coming out of the fruit that was originally encased in the fruit. And now I'm extracting it, and it's having a new existence in the cup. That, by definition, doesn't exist when the child is nursing, and therefore you wouldn't be in violation of any malacha then. However, there is a potential issue when I am not directly feeding it to the child. And that is where many of the issues, and it's important to analyze this, and this is where we run into in terms of nursing children. There are many situations that I'm not going to be nursing directly into the mouth of the child, and that's going to be a potential deoraisa, a biblical violation for me to nurse into a container and into a collecting device, whatever it is, that would be a potential malacha. It's important to realize and to go back to the discussion about the animals, which is similar to the people in this realm. The issue of chaliva is really going to be the same malacha. And this was an issue that really existed in the beginning of the century in the development of the land in Eretz Yisrael, that for many, many years in Europe, so they had this problem, what do they do with the cows on on Shabbos, because you can't really milk the cows on Shabbos. The milking is a malacha d'oraisa, like we're discussing, and the milk will become problematic. And so what do you do? So the issue is, because the cow begins to suffer. The cow really, if you don't milk the cow, then the cow is in a lot of pain. And in halacha, as I'm sure many of us know, there's a halacha called tsar bali chayim, and that's something that we are sensitive to in halacha. So the question is, what does tsar bali chayim permit? How much does that allow? Which is a fascinating issue on its own. What will that allow us in order to remove the struggle of the animal in terms of Shabbos, in terms of it not being able to be milked? So many Rishonim suggested that the Gemara tells us in Shabbos a fascinating din, which is not so popular, not so known, but in addition to Hilchos Mukta, there is a halacha called Bittul Kli Mehechano. Okay? Let's say I have this cup. This cup is empty going into Shabbos. If I put this cup in an area that Mukta will fall into it on Shabbos, I now destroyed this cup. I now am no longer allowed to use this cup. And Chazal said that is an Isser D'Rabbanan of destroying the capability of using the cup. There are different ways to analyze that Isser D'Rabbanan, Bittul Kli Mehechano. It could be a malacha of Stira Midrabbanan, that we're now viewed as destroying the cup. There are other ways to understand it. Maybe it's in the category of Mukta. You're making Mukta, something which wasn't Mukta. You're making it to be Mukta. So the Gemara says this is a problem. This is a problem. So the Gemara talks about a situation that an animal has a heavy load, and I'm going to release the load, but I'm concerned because when I release the load in order to allow the animal to stop suffering, because there's tsar bale chayim, so the Gemara says, but the vessels that are on top of the animal are going to break. They're going to crash on the ground, and when I release it, it's going to break. And they're mukta. So the Gemara says, don't worry, get a pillow. If you get a pillow, so then they'll fall on the pillow, and they're not going to break. So the Gemara says, oh. So the Gemara says, you see, you're allowed to be mevatel kli meyechano. That pillow was usable. Friday night I slept on that pillow. Now there's going to be mukta on top of that pillow. So the Gemara says, you see, you're allowed to violate the Isser D'Rabbanan mevatel kli meyechano when it comes to tsar balechai. So some of the Rishonim said, okay, great. So once midrabbanan, you're allowed to be mevatel kli meyechano. So now I could extrapolate from there and say that I can now allow amira la'akum. Also, when it comes to tsar bale chayim, that's what a lot of the Rishonim suggested. It was a debate amongst the Rishonim that we can ask the goy to milk the cow for tsar bale chayim also, because just like the Gemara allowed one drabbanan, so we could allow another drabbanan. Not all the Rishonim agreed to that. You can't necessarily pick and choose. If the Gemara doesn't say it, beferish, who says that you can jump from one drabbanan to the next? But that was the practice in Europe to be makel like the Rishonim. If you have goyim around to milk the cows on Shabbos, al yedei goyim, because it's only going to be a violation of amir la'akum. However, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they didn't always have goyim available, and the Chazanish was bothered. So what are we going to do? We have these people that are on the kibbutz; they have to milk the cows. So what are we going to do? So came along with the Chazanish, and the Chazanish had a fascinating suggestion. He says, if you look at the Ramban and many of the Rishonim, they write that by definition, if you want to violate, and we're assuming, like we introduced the issue, as the malacha of dash, by definition, disha and schita, whether you're squeezing olives, you're squeezing grapes, you're squeezing fruits, by definition, if it's schita le'ibud, if it's liquid that is going to be discarded immediately, so that's not the chlal disha at all. Okay, so the Chazanish suggested that perhaps you could even allow the Jews, according to the Ramban, he wanted to suggest, perhaps there would be a rationale to even allow a Jew to milk the cows. B'makom tsar balei chayim. Aye, how could we allow that? So says the Chazanish, well, if it's going directly on the ground, and it's never going to be collected. So that would be a definition of schita le'ibud, and schita le'ibud is not schita according to these Rishonim. So therefore, perhaps that would be a suggestion, even in a situation where you don't have a Goyim around. The reason why this is important is because this comes up not only on the farms, but it comes up when it comes to women who are uncomfortable and they have to express themselves. And the question is what to do. So the Gemara says a woman is allowed to express themselves, even though they're going to be involved in some sort of cholev process. But the Gemara says, as long as you're discarding it, so that's going to be mutter. So there are two reasons why the Mishnah Berurah suggests something like this is going to be mutter. The first suggestion is exactly like this Chazon Ish that I just introduced to you. He said, since it's not going to be collected, and since it's going le'ibud, so therefore, according to this Ramban, according to this idea, according to this rationale, this is not dash. So that's not considered chaliva. Great. However, the Mishnah Berurah says another reason why it would be mutter. The reason why it would be mutter is because it's not a malacha d'oraisa, not because of schita le'ibud, but for a different reason. We have a machlokas in the Gemara between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon if a malacha that's done for different purposes than it was done in the Mishkan, that's what's called in halacha, a malacha she'ein sricha l'gufa. I am doing this for a purpose. Again, this shouldn't be confused with a davar she'einu miskaven. It's not the same thing. I am fully mechaven. I know exactly. I'm aware about what I'm doing. I understand what I'm doing. But the reason that I'm doing it is for a different rationale and outcome than what they did in the Mishkan. That is another detailed machloikas, which actually only applies in Hilchos Shabbos, whereas Davar Sheinu Miskaven happens to apply in all areas of halacha. So Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that malacha sheinu tzricha legufa, even if you're doing it for another impetus than they did in the Mishkan, doesn't matter, you're still chayav. However, we paskin, most Rishonim paskin, like Rabbi Shimon, that if I have a different reason than doing it, even if it looks and it smells exactly like the malacha that they did in the Mishkan, malacha sheinu tzricha legufa is potter. It's not mutter, it's aser midrabbanan, but it's potter. So therefore, if usually disha was in order to use the extraction, in order to use the enclosed item, and that's why I'm extracting it, because I have some positive purpose to use for this item, similar to what they did in the Mishkan. However, if I don't have that and I'm doing it for a totally different reason, like similar to digging a hole, I'm not digging a hole like they did in the Mishkan for the purpose of the hole. I'm digging the hole because I need dirt. So that's an ulterior reason, an ulterior motive. That's a malacha sheinu tzricha legufa. That is only asur midrabbanan and is therefore not a violation midoraisa. Okay, but one second. If it's asur midrabbanan, so why is it mutter for the woman to do this? So the reason is because Chazal were very sensitive to the struggle and the tsa'ar of an isha who is experiencing this discomfort. And the Gemara says, Tosfos explains that b'makom tsa'ar, so we are allowing a violation midrabbanan and malach sheinu tzricha legufa. Okay? So those are two rationales of why even when I'm not going to use the milk, why I'm still allowed to express, either because it's going li'ibud, it's not collected, or it's because the purpose of the milk is not for the classic purpose, and eventually, since it will be discarded, therefore it will be mutter. Who cares? Practically, Rabbi, you're telling me it's mutter. The Gemara says it's mutter. I don't care about the rationales. The answer is you do care about the rationale, and I'll tell you for the following reasons. The poskim suggest and discuss the following issue. What happens if I'm planning on discarding it? I'm planning on putting it into the sink. Eventually, I'll put it in the toilet. But right now, it's going in my pump, and it's going to eventually be put into the sink. So how would you analyze that? So I would analyze it like this. It's a malach shenetzricha legufa. I'm not using this milk. I'm not storing this milk. I'm not doing it, what they did in the Mishkan, which would be a malach atzricha legufa. So I'm already out of the Doraisa category, that's for sure. But it's also not schita li'ibud. It's not directly being lost. It first is going into a container, and then it's being discarded. So that might be a practical implication where some poskim would say, no, it's okay, it's mutter, because it's at the end of the day, it's a malach shenetzricha legufa. Whereas others would suggest you're better off if you're discarding it originally. Why? Because then you add on to your heterim of what? You never involved yourself in Disha to begin with. You never began the process. It was directly li'ibud right when you did it. So that would be the difference of expressing oneself directly into a sink, directly into a toilet, directly into a way that it's going to be discarded, and not temporarily collecting into some sort of container and eventually throwing it out. You want to know, bottom line, if you don't have any other options, yes, it's mutter to put it in the container and eventually to discard it because you have what to rely on. If you're asking me, lechatchila, what should I try to do? I would say, let's try to fulfill all of the opinions here. Let's try to make this as similar as possible to what the Chazon Ish said might not even be a malacha and what he said on the farms, that it's going directly li'ibud onto the floor. It's not even a malacha to begin with. If you have that option, so then you should do that. Now, does that mean that you have to express yourself on top of the sink or into the toilet? No. One could put, and this is what many poskim suggest, if you put soap or you put some detergent, you make it totally invalid and totally not edible, totally junk right away. So my shna, who cares whether it's in an act of discarding it because I'm doing a pa'ula of throwing it out, or if it's discarded on its own because it right away became schita li'ibud by the fact that it collected in an area that it's now no longer edible and it's not considered a collection process as well, to begin with. So that really is the first issue that Chazal presented to us, that we are makel and we are lenient for a woman. And it's important to, I like to highlight this, that Chazal were very sensitive and they did understand what's necessary and they did suggest different etzas, you know, for this situation of tzar, of discomfort. But one should plan ahead and one should try to set themselves up to be in the best case scenario, to violate as little malacha as possible. Obviously, if you don't have that option, so then you should eventually discard it. The last thing that you want to do is to forget that there's an issue to the start and to collect milk. Unfortunately, there are people that are not aware about this, and it's in a mitzvah to be mefarsim this, that this is a problem. And collecting milk, unless you have a specific heter, usually is not something that should be done. And some sort of mechanism to make it discarded, to make it schita li'ibud, b'makom tzar, is what should be done. But you shouldn't collect the milk. Not only that, but if you collect the milk, Reb Kiva Eiger is and eventually feed the milk, if it's not in a specific situation, it's not a specific predicament, the milk might be muktzah. The milk might be usser. It might be called mashkin shizavu. You know, just like you have a grape. If a grape, if anyone remembers from the, maybe we should do a little quiz from the old shiurim. If you have a grape that seeps out grape juice, or you have an olive that seeps out liquid, or you have other fruits that are brought in order to collect their mashke and they seep out juices, not all the time, but sometimes. So then that's what's called, I didn't do anything. That's what's called mashkin shezavu. Mashkin, liquid, shezavu me'elehem. They seeped out on their own. I don't want to talk about this now, but I got a fascinating, fascinating shaila. You know, when I get like an interesting shaila, that's if you want to give me a gift, just give me a geshmaka shaila. That's like that's the best gift for me. So I got a very, very geshmaka shaila from someone in the shul on Erev Shabbos. And and it was the best thing because I didn't even have the pressure of answering, because the person called me. I was in the shower, and I try to leave my phone off right, close it. It's the big joke in my house that, like, you know, if Abba closes the phone, you know, 5 minutes before Shabbos, you're messing someone over, you know, because all these shilohs come in the last minute. So I try to, you know, delay it as much as possible. But, you know, so this person happened to have called their old Rav. So I loved it. So I was like, oh, great. So now I could really listen to the shiloh, because now it's totally lishma. So the shiloh was like this. They want to know if when they're nursing, so they're going to obviously discard and put soap into the bottle on Shabbos because you don't want to violate the malacha. Question was as follows. What about the milk that comes out of the other side that I am not doing a pu'ula on and I'm not trying to extract the milk? Everyone with me? Can I collect that milk? That was the question. I don't know. It feels like everyone's in shock. There's silence. But then I remember that everyone's muted. So this is really the first thing that comes to mind from this shiloh is, wait a second. Does Mashkin Shezavu apply? It's milk that's coming out on its own. Would that be a problem of Mashkin Shezavu? It's not the only issue that you really have to analyze. You also have to analyze, which you could probably help me with more, but I spoke to a doctor about this. When there's milk that's coming out on the other side, is that a psik ratio? Is that automatic? And therefore, that could be a function of the fact that I'm expressing on one side? Because if that's the case, just like if I drag a bench, right, on a soft soil, even though the malacha that I'm doing is really dragging the bench, which isn't in a malacha, but since it's inevitable that it's going to cause a hole in the ground, so we're going to say that could potentially be a malacha, a psik resha. So is it a psik resha that if a person has this tendency that when I'm going to nurse on one side, so then it's going to be like it's automatic that I'm that milk is coming out on the other side? So I think you could probably answer this better than me, but the doctor that I spoke to thought that it was not a psik resha. It really depends on many different factors, and it's not necessarily that it's going to always happen. It happens randomly, and that wouldn't necessarily be considered a psik resha. It depends on different things he was explaining to me, set from the pituitary gland and the way things are happening in the body, that it seldomly happens, sometimes not. So it's not going to necessarily be a psik resha. So if that's the case, so it's really not a malacha. So now we really just have to analyze that first thing that I brought up. So does Mashkin Shezavu apply to woman's milk as well? So I actually found Rabbi Ribyad. Rabbi Ribyad says he thinks, based on Rabbi Kiva Eger, that Mashkin Shezavu does apply to woman's milk. This is a shiloh that I got a few years ago. Someone told me that the person, I don't remember if exactly what the situation was, if the husband was more frum than the wife and the woman just was disregarding this halacha, or if the woman forgot. I don't remember exactly, but it was some sort of shiloh like this. The woman basically violated chaliva on Shabbos. So the shiloh was, what do we do with the milk? Do we have to throw out all the milk? By the way, that's a good topic. If anyone wants to explore what post facto shilas, what do you do? Oops, I did this. What now? What? It's a whole sugya and halacha of Hilchos Shabbos of post facto. Not that I want to talk about that so what's the shiloh b'di'eved? So that was an interesting shiloh. So the whole assumption is that b'di'eved, even if you didn't do a malacha, even if you didn't. In this situation, the person did the malacha, so therefore it's a shaila of what's called Maisa Shabbos. How do you deal with it b'di'eved? Was it done b'shogi? Was it done b'mezid? A whole complicated machlokas in the Gemara, machlokas aposkim. But what about if you didn't do anything? When it comes to schita, when it comes to dash, when it comes to these issues, so even if it's me'ela, even if it's on its own, so that could be a potential malacha. But that is a potential issue. Some poskim thought that b'makom tzorech, where the baby doesn't have a lot of milk. That the amount from coming from the other side is would be mutter, and that's the Pesach of Rebbe Ribiad. He says this is relevant for nursing caps. He thinks that nursing caps are mutter, although that would be mashkin shezavu, because you're not doing a pu'ula of what the nursing cap is basically doing is exactly what this person asked. It's putting something on the other side and collecting on its own when you're extracting. You're doing the pu'ula and the activity on the other side. And he says, although it is mashkin shezavu, and he would be machmir if a person violated the isser, the mazid or whatever, and they weren't makbid on the halacha, but in such a situation where you're not doing it, and all it is mashkin shezavu because it's being done on the other side, he was matir the situation of nursing camps. So that would be a fascinating application of this halacha. So just what's important is that fundamentally, without a special heter, without a specific predicament, you have to know that you're not allowed to store any milk. And ideally, a person should try and have the milk that it's discarded immediately, and soap is put in right away. Okay. The other issue that really needs to be discussed is. What are the better options in terms of machines and devices to use that I was asked to speak about specifically? Is everyone clear so far? Does anyone have questions?
I do.
Okay, yeah.
Going back to, it sounds like one of the premises is that it's uncomfortable. Like that's a big piece here. But what if it's just to like keep up your regular supply that like, you know, if you would, you may not be uncomfortable until you reach 6 hours, but you want to do it at 3 hours so that you can maintain your supply.
Right. So I don't think, first of all, I don't think when I say uncomfortable, I think fundamentally it's uncomfortable, meaning you're going to be in a matzav of tzar the longer you wait. We're not making you I think fundamentally the Gemara assumes that if a woman who doesn't express herself, she will be bitzar. So that will be permissible. I don't think you have to wait till you're uncomfortable.
Okay.
To do that, yeah.
Thank you.
That's a good question. Okay. So wait, what about
can I ask also sure. Like similarly, I think if you, not just with keeping up with your supply, but let's say like for whatever reason you can't nurse, but you want to give the pump milk. So
that's where it gets tricky. Good. That's where it gets tricky. Preface this that every situation should be discussed, because fundamentally, which is what I'm trying to highlight over here, is you're dealing with a daraisa. Okay. Now there are situations where pikuach nefesh applies and there are raises. But again, the only thing that could be matir and is a daraisa, the only thing that could be matir and is a daraisa is pikuach nefesh. What's included in pikuach nefesh is safek sakana. We're not sure. So it's very tough to answer every situation right now. But have I been lenient? Sure. Are there situations that we're thinking that maybe the child will not eat and the child was just born before Shabbos and the doctor is telling me, I don't think the baby is going to take formula. I don't think it's going to work and this baby might not be drinking. That's safek sakana. I mean, you got to take care of this baby. So then that's a situation where we're going to violate the malacha. If it's just, ideally, I want the milk, you know, I'd rather them nurse, but the doctor's telling me a little formula is not going to be problematic. Most poskim would tell you that is not a reason to violate. Because again, you're dealing with a doraisa and you're not dealing with a sakana. So that's the problem. And in this situation, there's no derabbanans over here. This is deraisa, so that's a problem. That's a problem. So that's what we're talking about over here. So you need a heter. You need to be in a specific situation. that's why it's good when the baby, it gets tricky when the baby is born close to Shabbos and the baby hasn't necessarily regulated themselves. And they also haven't regulated themselves to formula either. So there's a suffix whether or not he's going to drink anything. So that's really where it gets to be an issue. But fundamentally, otherwise, you know, just because you just, you know, if he's going to have a little bit of formula, if he's not nursing, again, ideally, if he's nursing, that's great. If he's not nursing, just because I want him to nurse is questionable. However, there is an etza. And this really gets into the next part of the conversation. Oh boy, it's very late already. Okay, so there are different types of devices. There's the different types of pumps. There's the hand pump and the electric pump, okay? Anything else out there? That's everything, right? The hand pump and the electric pump, okay. I'm sure there's something else out there, but we're not discussing. Okay. So initially, I think everyone would think right now that my opinion would be, obviously, stay away from electricity, use the hand pump, because you're not going to be activating anything electric. Not necessarily. And the reason is the following. Because when it comes to the electric pump, okay, you technically could set this thing up in a situation that it's really, really not too severe. What does that mean? If you set, in theory, and again, some situations this works for, some not, test out your machines way before Shabbos. You know, been there, done that. That, you know, we're sitting 2 hours before Shabbos and it's not working. It's not, test it out. But if you set the machine on a Shabbos clock, okay, and you put the item on you, that now I'm not really activating anything at the time. I know the time that the system's going to go on. It's resting on my body on its own. And now it's just extracting it and it's pumping. So is there an issue over here? Yeah, it's grumma. Grumma is not something that we're automatically matir. But one could argue, again, not everyone agrees to this, but one could argue that it might be better to do a malacha bigrumma than to actually even do the pu'ula, especially if the pu'ula has to be done again and again and again. Every time that I'm extracting, right, when I'm using a manual pump, right? So let's say I'm assuming that this is, the heter is because it's a malach shenitzrich legufa, right? It's not that it's mutter. It's just that we allow a malach shenitzrich legufa in a situation where a woman is suffering, right? But if you could minimize that, right, you obviously should minimize that, right? So now what I'm suggesting right now is you can minimize it to be over in one shot, right? One time. It's not even being done directly from you. You set it up on your body and now it's going on its own instead of doing many, many different pu'ulos and activities that would potentially be more d'rabbanus. Did everyone understand that? Right? So if you set that up and it's successful, again, I'm not trying to say that if you didn't set it up and you don't have the other option, that it doesn't work and that you shouldn't use it. Obviously, put the soap in and use it. But in those situations, it might be better to actually use the electronic if you're not going to be activating the electric pump. What happens if I forgot to set it up on the Shabbos clock? So then it gets a little bit trickier because then I'm actually doing another malacha of electricity and activating the electricity might be worse, you know, depending on, this is where you're really going to get into a major machlok zaposkim in terms of how you define electricity. The Chazon Ish would say that's a malacha d'oraisa of bona, but many poskim in America have not accepted that opinion and think that it might be only d'rabbanan. So then you might get into that, that you might still suggest that it might be better to turn on the electricity because I also have the option of turning on the electricity with a shinoi. Okay, I could do it with my elbow or click the switch in an indirect way. Not that that's mutter, but again, that's a kalachar yad. And again, you're doing one pu'ula as opposed to many that would be a suffik if it's a malacha. That would depend on how you analyze the first heter of a woman that's suffering, why it's mutter if it's going into the soap, if it's being discarded. Is it that it's not disha at all, like the Ramban, or is it that it's a malacha shenitzich legufa? So then that would be many, many different pu'ulos that are usher. If you're in the hospital and you forgot to set up the Shabbos clock and you have a nurse around or you have a baby nurse around, so before doing your own malacha kala'achar yad, before you're self-activating, you have amir la'akum. Of course you should do amir la'akum before you yourself do it. So that would be another suggestion of how you can avoid many different potential malachas and just have one amir la'akum with the electric pump. And again, if you set it up like you would with a Shabbos clock, you could again do that with the guy as well. Put it on your body. It's already fastened. It's already set up. And the guy turns it on. And then it's going through the guy as opposed to the guy turning it on. And then you putting it on your body, which would be your pu'ula as opposed to the guy in terms of the malach. We're not going to suggest that these are permissible now, even in a situation where we're not going to suggest that these are permissible even to collect the milk, because there are going to be violations, and we don't want to be matter that in this situation. But in a situation where you have a heter and there is a suffix, or you're strapped or whatever, that idea of the grumma might be something to consider when you really need the milk, and to keep that in your back pocket and to discuss that, you know, when you have this shiloh, because that is potentially an option in a situation where you don't have any alternative and you really need it, because it does minimize things and makes it a little bit better. Okay? Yeah, Ayel.
So when you say with the electric pump, you set it up on you, would you say it's preferable to wear something that would make it hands-free, or does that not, like, or is holding the actual pumps in place on you, you're not, would that be like more of you causing it?
Yeah, it's better. It's better if it could stay on its own. Yeah.
That would be better. Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, then you get very sticky of like, am I doing it? Is it being done on its own? How much am I assisting? How much not? Yeah.
If it's only a grumma, how bad is it to keep the milk then?
If it's only a grumma, how bad is it to keep the milk? So the answer to that is the keeping the milk would be usser even if it's done on its own, meaning even if it's not, even if I'm not involved at all, it's mashkin shizot.
Then what's the difference then when you said collecting it from the other side?
Nursing cap, you're saying. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You're saying it would be just like a nursing cap. That if you're saying, if you set up a grumma, if you're telling me, right, so the poskim only allowed the nursing cap if it was the opposite side. But I think any...
So let's say you pump on one side with the electric pump.
And then you
and
put
then
it...
And then you collect from the other side. Right.
So you're basically creating a nursing cap.
Right.
And it's, again, it's going to be the minimal amount.
Right.
Right. I hear that. Lauren, you always do this. You know, guys, we're bringing this up. We brought up at SCP on Sunday night the sushi salad, and then we had memories of the avocado. You guys killed me on the avocado. But the remember that? The brown avocado?
That was you. We had a discussion that was you. About them. The trifle bowls.
Exactly, right, exactly. We would discuss this Sunday night making sushi on Shabbos. So about if Rav Asher Weiss thinks that it's a malacha of bona. All right, that's another shear. We're not going to get carried away on a tangent. I hear that. I don't see why if it's a minimal amount and it's not the direct and it's just a mashkin shezavu issue. It's not connected to your main intention. I don't see why that should be different than the nursing cap.
Right.
Interesting point. But I would like to think about it because I never thought about it. To be honest, I never even thought about the Mashkin Shazavu till this Friday morning. And Baruch Hashem. I discussed it with a bunch of Rabbanim. They also never thought about it. Fascinating shaila that came out of our community. Okay, so Torah keeps growing. I really just want to close unless there are any other questions with just the machshava on the parsha that really connects to this concept of chaliva and cholev and milk. So the Torah in this week's parsha, Parshas Vayechi, gives a bracha to Yehuda. And the Torah says, Osri lagefen iro lasareka b'nei asono kibes b'yayin levushu b'dam anovim suso. The Torah is talking about how in Eretz Yisrael, in your land Yehuda, which you are gonna govern over, you're going to have a beautiful land that's going to be flowing with wine. Chachile einayim miyayin, the eyes of people will be red from all the wine that they would drink. Ulaven shinayim mechalav. Then the Torah says, and there will be white teeth from milk. Very apropos for all the dentists in our community. So the Gemara says in Ksubas Anaf Kufyad Aleph Amid Beis the following on this pasuk. The pasuk says, "Chachile enayim yain kol chayech shetomo omer li li." Anyone who's going to taste the wine is going to say, "Oh, give me more! Hit me up with another one!" You know. Lili, I want more. I want more of that wine. It's going to be addictive. The Shema Tomer, the Gemara asks, maybe you'll think that that's just for young people. Shema Tomer l'na'arim yafe u'lizkenim eno yafe. Maybe you'll think that it's only, you know, addictive to the young, but not to the elderly. Says the Gemara, that's the pasuk in this week's parasha. Tam lomer u'leven shinayim mecholav. Al tikre leven shinayim el leven shonim. So the Gemara has a play on words. The Gemara says, don't read it as that it'll be love on shonim, leven shinayim, that it should be referring to the teeth, but rather there's an alternate reading of the pasuk, leven shonim, it's for the elderly, that even the elderly will be addicted to the wine and everyone will benefit from this. Why? Okay, it's a fascinating drasha. Then the Gemara does something fascinating. The Gemara says, come on. Pashte dekra b'mai. This pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, that's a bracha to Yehuda, chachile enayim meyayin uleven shinayim mecholav. What's the pashtus of this pasuk? What is this pasuk referring to? Al pi pashut pshat. So listen to what the Gemara says. Ki yasa ravdimi amra, Knesset Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk is referring to, says Rav Dimi, is that Klal Yisrael were say to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, Ramuz be'inecha, debosim mechamra, ve'achvi li shinecha, debosim mechalba. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us a wink in your eyes, in eyes that are affected by wine, and then show me your teeth that are affected by milk. What? This is what Klal Yisrael say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to what the Gemara continues. Misayeya leil Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Toiv hamalbim shinayim lechavero. Yoser mimashkehu cholov. Shenemar uleven shinayim mecholov. Al tikra leven shinayim el libun shinayim. Says the Gemara, talking about our very issue of milk. Says the Gemara, leven shinayim mecholov. It's better, says Rabbi Yochanan, for a person to show his teeth to an individual than to give him milk that he can sustain his body based on. That is what Klal Yisrael are asking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Show me your teeth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's more important for an individual to see the teeth of another person than to actually be sustained by the milk of that other individual. What does that mean? What is the Gemara telling us? What is the bracha? What is the Gemara hinting? What's Rabbi Yochanan teaching us? That Yaakov is telling Yehuda by his bracha. So I think Talmud Rebbe shares a beautiful idea that I think is so relevant to all of us, specifically in a nursing shiur, but also in this time that we're at home and we're struggling and our kids' lives were altered and is a different format, that we're often very, very concerned about sustaining, about giving over the milk, about having the parnasa, about making sure that there's food on the table and that everyone's concerns, diapers are changed, all the clothing was ordered from all the stores. But then the Gemara says, but how was it delivered? But how was it put on the child? Sometimes that child will grow more, says the Gemara, from seeing the whiteness of your tooth than from the chalav that you're actually giving that child. Sometimes we're so focused on the milk, on the money, on sustaining them physically, and we realize that emotionally we're hurting them. And it's at the expense of a healthy environment. And the Gemara is telling you, Yehuda, don't only focus on the chalav. Don't only focus on the actual milk that builds the body, and has the nutrients. Remember that it has to be with the shinayim, with a smirk, with a positive comment. I was talking to my wife the other day about just, I had the schus, Baruch Hashem, to daven with Tzvi in the morning. And I was just watching him. And, I was talking about how proud I was of him. And, I thought to myself the next day, I said, but I never said that to Tzvi, about how proud I was about the way he was davening. And I said it to my wife. But that's his nutrients. He needs to hear that. Can't take that for granted. I need to say that to him. I need to express that to him. We have gemachs of clothing, of appliances, of for chasanos, for simchas. We need to have a gemach of a positive statement, of a positive comment, of a smirk, of a smile, of seeing the whiteness of my tooth when I have the ability to smile at the other individual. Sometimes that will keep another person going more than milk. Often you have individuals that have all the money in the world, but they don't necessarily have that comfort. They don't necessarily have that text message. They don't necessarily have that positive statement that's being addressed towards them, and they give it all up. They give it all up because life is empty. Because what are they waking up in the morning for? Because of what? To make another dollar? To add more to the investments? And then what? There's no smirks in the day. There's no smiles. There's nothing positive. There's no gemach to increase positivity in the community around me. This is something that we really have to work on. This is something that Rabbi Yochanan was teaching us. Don't just give the milk. The milk is tafel to the way the milk is given and to the smile that's given to the child. So make sure that the shinayim are seen, Yehuda, when you're giving over the milk. And it's fascinating. This was Rabbi Yochanan who lost 10 children. Rabbi Yochanan, who the Gemara in Brachos tells us, used to walk around from Shiva house to Shiva house with the bone of his 10th child that he lost, who his whole mission statement, in addition to being one of the greatest scholars in Chas, was to be mechazik people who were suffering, was to make sure that you should know that the shinayim, the tooth, you'll get through this. I got through it. I lost 10 children, said Rabbi Yochanan, and I'm bringing this tooth around, the tooth itself, to support you. But he now was the one in the Gemara and Ksubas that's saying, don't just feed the milk, don't just nurse, but make sure that you keep nursing. Even after the 2 years that the Gemara suggests a person should nurse for. Make sure that the nursing continues, where the nursing is much more important. Because bottom line, Rabosai, most doctors you ask, they'll be fine with formula. But if you don't have the shinayim, if you don't have what Rabbi Yochanan's telling us that's more important than the milk, then that child will be lacking. That child will be hurting. That child won't develop that same way. This is a door. This is a matzav in a door. I see this all the time with all of our children. We need to be mechazik. Not only our own children, we need to express it, but also the children in our community and outside. Sometimes you got to be awkward. Sometimes you got to say things that not necessarily everyone says. If you could save a life, if you can get that child growing, why does it only have to come from the therapist? Why does it only have to come from the parents? Why can't it be from a neighbor? A compliment, a little bit of chizuk, something that you were so impressed with. That's what these children are thriving for. They're dying for it. They thrive on it. That's what they need. So if we can make a gemach for every other thing, if we can have chesed galore in every other area, so why can't we just train ourselves to send that message? To send that message to each other, to our friends, to our old acquaintances that we haven't been talking to people that we know might not get those messages, and we're going to be the one to step it up to send that message, and also to the children who are for sure going to need it, who are in this complicated matzav, where everyone around is depressed, is down. We need to brighten up their day. We need to show them the light. And Emir Tzah Hashem, all of the children will grow up, and all of us will grow with the right attitude, with the right chizuk, and Emir Tzah Hashem bring nachas to the Borei Olam. Okay, we'll stay tuned. I'm expecting some text messages on the next topic, and I got to go find the Marif. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Do you want, Tanya? Do you want to know how do you upload that? You want to just
Josh send knows, it to you? I'll send it to you. Josh knows Josh, how to do it.
How to do why you? How to do why you Torah? Yeah.
Josh, you know how to do why you Torah, or you just know how to upload the download the recording? But you can download the recording? Yeah, he has the recording, but he doesn't know how to do YU Torah. But we can send it to someone who can do the YU Torah.
Okay, so send it to me. I'll send it to one of the guys in my shir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question, or would you prefer I'd like text it to you?
I don't mind if it's quick. It's just a Marav issue. It's not a preference issue. But what's going on? I have
okay,
2 minutes.
Okay, so I'm thinking about how with Gabriel, right, so you said I could pump because it was Pikuach Nefesh, and I wasn't aware that the NICU had this, like, stock of my milk, and now I'm thinking about these post-facto questions that you were talking about, that I've given him this milk that might have been frozen, like, my milk that I had pumped on Shabbos, at a certain point they told me that I had extra